Thank you, Jordan, so much. And thank you all for being here and joining us. I am Nicole Galloway, and I am running for governor of Missouri. I'm running for governor to put Jefferson City back on the side of working families. Never before has it been so clear that the decisions our governors make have such a dramatic impact on our day-to-day lives, especially in times of crisis. Our state is dealing with so many challenges, a pandemic that has disproportionately impacted our most vulnerable communities, an economy that's leaving too many Missourians behind, and a state government that cares more about what political insiders want than the urgent needs of our communities, small businesses, and our families. The killing of George Floyd has opened another painful glimpse into our fractured criminal justice system. In Missouri, we are all too familiar with this pain. Addressing it begins with accountability. Accountability for the law enforcement officers involved, and accountability in the systems that perpetuate systemic inequality. The disparities in our criminal justice system are real, and we must do the work of building a Missouri that is fair and accountable to all of its citizens. As your state auditor, bringing accountability is my job. I've never settled for things being the way they are. As your governor, I won't settle either. Together, we can make Missouri the best place in America to start a business, put down roots, and raise a family. Together, we can end the divisive debates that impede our progress and move forward into a brighter future for Missouri families. Look, we are still very much in the middle of a public health crisis, staring down a long road to recovery and facing tough conversations about how to make our society more just. If there is anything these past few days, weeks, and months have shown us, it's that it matters who we elect to lead us. Participation in our democracy is so vital. That's why I'm concerned about the suppressive policy decisions being made in Jefferson City around voting. I have called on Governor Parson to issue an order that any Missouri voter can vote absentee without needing to get their ballot notarized. Missouri's notary requirement is voter suppression, especially during a pandemic. It makes voting absentee more difficult by design. It is essential because we cannot have what has happened in other states happen here in Missouri. We're all familiar with the situation in Wisconsin, where voters stood in long lines in order to vote. Just this week in Georgia, we saw a situation described in a headline in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution as a complete meltdown. In Georgia, roughly 10% of polling sites were unavailable. There were fewer election workers and inadequate training for newly hired workers. As is often the case, the problems were mostly concentrated in predominantly minority precincts. Many voters waited in line well past midnight in order to participate in their primary election. And organizers that stayed to encourage people to remain in line had the police called on them. Here in Missouri, in our most recent municipal elections, in Kansas City, we've gone from 115 polling places to 28, from 1,500 election workers to 400. As the Kansas City Star explained, the number of polling sites and volunteers will not be enough for our August primary, let alone the November general election. This is a ticking time bomb that the governor must address now. Voters need a simple, straightforward solution, not a flowchart with multiple options on trying to figure out how to vote. The most simple, straightforward solution is to let voters vote absentee without a notary in 2020. Then, next year, we need a permanent fix. If it's good enough for 2020, it should be good enough forever. That means no excuse absentee voting, early voting, and the elimination of the suppressive notary requirement. The week before our municipal elections, Governor Parson looked into a camera and told voters not to go out and vote. Don't vote if you don't feel safe voting. It is his job to protect public safety. His failure to ensure that voters can participate in the most fundamental part of our democracy is a stunning failure of leadership. It's also voter suppression by design. We can't wait for November to fix this, because this August, Missouri will have the opportunity to do what politicians won't: expand Medicaid. We're going to bring our tax dollars home to invest in our people, giving coverage to working people, saving healthcare jobs, and creating new ones in parts of our state that desperately need them. Governor Parson opposes Medicaid expansion. He moved it to the August ballot in the hopes that by doing so, it would help him defeat it. He's going to tell voters that we can't afford to provide healthcare to people in the midst of an infectious disease pandemic that has killed nearly 900 Missourians. When it comes to healthcare, Governor Parson has no plan, no vision. I don't know that he even cares. Governor Parson is part of the old way, the entrenched system. The well-connected insiders that fund his campaigns get what they want. And they don't even care about the lack of healthcare for 250,000 working Missourians. So we're going to take matters into our own hands. And the first step is voting to expand Medicaid in August. But then, as we have seen, Governor Parson has a track record of thinking he knows better than the voters. I believe Governor Parson will undermine our vote in favor of Medicaid expansion. We can let history be our guide. On Clean Missouri, on Right to Work, Governor Parson over and over again has said he knows better than you. So when you vote to expand Medicaid, you better believe it matters who is sitting in the governor's office next year when it comes time to implement it. The stakes are high. If Governor Parson wins a second term, he will interpret a mandate for his extreme agenda, an agenda that says no to healthcare, that says no to a woman's right to choose, even in cases of rape, that says no to common sense gun safety, and that says there is no role for government in our response to a coronavirus pandemic. That's why it is essential for those of us who care about access to voting to sound this alarm early and often. We cannot let voter suppression continue unaddressed. And that's why I'm delighted to welcome one of the leading voices in America on the issue of ensuring voters have access to the ballot, Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams is the former Georgia House Democratic leader who ran a remarkable gubernatorial campaign that excited Democrats all across the country, earned immense national attention, and gave hope to folks in Missouri that we can turn the tide in 2020. She faced extreme voting right restrictions and purges to the voter rolls during her 2018 election and still came within 2 points of winning, bringing in the most Democratic votes ever cast in Georgia in the closest election since 1966. Now, as founder of Fair Fight, Leader Abrams continues to protect our right to vote and push for election reform all over the country. As we saw in Georgia's primary election this past Tuesday, and in countless other states, that fight is far from over. I'm honored to introduce to you Leader Stacey Abrams.